Hello, and thanks for listening to the Diana Gabaldon podcast. You can always find out more about me and my books at my website, which is www.dianagabaldon.com. That's all one word, DianaGabaldon.com. Well, one of the things people always ask me is, what is your daily writing routine, which I explained a little bit about earlier. This routine varies as we go through a book. It does take me 2 to 3 years to finish one of these enormous books, unfortunately. They're very large. They're very detailed. There's a tremendous amount of research that goes into them. And I'm slow, unfortunately. So it does take me 2 to 3 years. So when we're in the early part of a book, I will be doing a lot of research and relatively little writing. At the same time, I do write every day, because when I began doing this, I said, well, now the point here is not to learn everything there is about 18th century Scotland. When I began, I knew nothing, of course, and we'll talk about research later. But the point here is to learn how to write a novel. So I said, I'm going to begin writing the novel immediately, even though I know nothing about Scotland in the 18th century. So I will do the research concurrently with the writing. If I later turn out to have written something that's wrong, you know, I'll change it. Not a big deal. But the point here is to learn how to write. So I wrote, and if you don't write for more than a day or two, the inertia kind of builds up on you, and it's hard to start again. So I continue to write even in the early days when I know very little about the story or where it's going or the specific details that I need in research, and I'll be doing a lot of research. As I move into the story and begin to know more about it, then I'm writing faster and more and doing slightly less research. Through the bulk of a book, say the middle 18 months or so, that's what I call my walking pace. During that period, I'll be aiming to write 2 single-spaced pages a day, that's about 1,000 words, and doing research as we go along. I find that the research kind of feeds off the writing as we go along. You know, I will start a scene and realize, well, I need to know this particular thing in order to finish this scene, so I'll go look that up. But in the course of looking it up, I will also very likely stumble over 2 or 3 really interesting tidbits which stimulate ideas for further scenes and subplots. Now, I should say that I don't write with an outline, and I don't write in a straight line. This doesn't mean you shouldn't. I know a lot of writers, and about half of them do, in fact, have very linear, tidy sorts of minds. They really do profit by working with an outline, or at least having some sort of rough plan where they're going, and in fact, they can't function well without one. The other half are more like me. We are what's called chunk writers. That is, I can write something where I can see it happening. What I need to start writing on any particular day is what I call a kernel. Now, a kernel is a very vivid image, a line of dialogue, an emotional ambiance, anything that I can sense very concretely and for which I have words. I call it when the words show up. If I see an image and I hear words, you know, describing it in my mind, then I can write about it. So I sit down and I begin describing this kernel, whatever it may be. Sometimes it's just an object that I've picked up out of a catalog of historical objects or something. But as I'm writing this description, I'm using as much craft as I can in the description. And while I'm doing that, my mind is kicking up all kinds of little questions about this. Everybody, I think, carries around sort of a compost heap in the back of their mind. I have a very large one into which all kinds of things go. Anyway, I sort of rootle through this compost heap very quickly while doing this. For me, I think writing has 2 components. One of these is actually what I call finding the story, you know, bringing these kernels through from the other side or from wherever. And what you might call inspiration, I suppose, or the creative impulse. Though, as I say, it starts very small with one of these little kernels. I don't usually know what a scene is about until I'm well into it. But the other half is straight craft, and this is to arrange the words in the proper way that what's in your mind will get onto the page in such a way that it will make it into somebody else's mind coherently. Okay, you can teach people to do craft. I don't know if you can teach them to tell stories or not. I mean, I was very luckily born with it, and you know, I've just always been able to do it. I don't know whether it can be learned or not. I would hope that it can, but certainly you can learn craft. Anyway, as I say, I'm using as much craft as I can in the description of these kernels, and in the same time asking all these little, you know, sub-voiced questions. For example, one day I had no idea what I was going to write about. I flipped through one of my old Sotheby's catalogs, picked out this crystal goblet, 18th century Scottish pattern. I said, okay, that's great, period. We'll describe this. And so I began describing this crystal goblet, and I was saying the light is falling through the crystal goblet and spilling an amber pool of light. Amber pool, that's interesting. Why is it amber? The glass is full of whiskey. All right, well, this makes sense. Scotch, you know, it's whiskey. Why not? And onto the polished wood. And polished wood, it's sitting on a table. Okay, where is this table? And, you know, at the back of my mind was thinking, where am I? What time of day is it? Who's holding this? Who said, did someone just say something? Anyway, I said, okay, it's sitting on a polished table. It's full of whiskey. I know where we are. We are in Jocasta Cameron's parlor. She's the only person who would have something like this. So that's where we are. Is she there? Yes, she was. I could see her hand reaching for the glass. She's an elder elderly Scottish woman, very aristocratic, long, slender fingers, blue veins. And then I saw, in my mind, a black man's hand reaching from the other side and moving this glass so that her hand would fit around it. Okay, at this point, I was driving down the road taking my daughter to a soccer game because, you know, when you start this kind of thing, it just keeps going in your mind, even if you have to stop and do errands. And when I saw the black man's hand move the glass, I turned to my daughter and I said, "I've just realized Jocasta Cameron is blind." My daughter said, "I don't care. You missed the turn off to the soccer field." But this is how it works gradually, is little things kind of reveal themselves to me in the writing. A lot of people think that that magic happens when you write, and it does. But they think, well, you must be struck by inspiration. You know, this magic bolt hits you, and then you just sit down, and it all, as some very irritating people say, it must just pour out of you. Well, no, actually, first you work, and then the magic happens, if you're lucky. That's all for this installment of the Diana Gabaldon podcast. Thank you again for listening. The paperback edition of the latest Outlander novel, A Breath of Snow and Ashes, is now on sale wherever books are sold. And do please be sure to visit my website at www.dianagabaldon.com.